as you know, I am fastly approaching a funeral that I must attend on Tuesday of this week. One of my heroes has passed away. I love Joe. And not a lot of people will understand where I'm coming from. He had to grow up in my house and realize the many times that he exemplified not just musicianship, but what I needed to see as far as being a man. Somebody understands what I'm saying. And I don't have to go into great detail about that, but the Lord sheltered me and kept me, and Joel was greatly used and mightily used in that way. And I am now sitting in a position where my uncle's gone, my father's gone, and my, I would say, older brother, Joel, is gone. And that's tough. Uncle Daniel and a few others and then me that are left, and it's tough to see what's happened in our family, but the Lord knows best, and I must represent him, and by his grace I will. On top of all that, my computer is at Bay Street being worked on. My backup computer, this morning, while I was trying to finalize the message, crashed. The computer that I use as my music computer would not accept or transfer the information over. And a snake came to visit us. And tried to join the church. So, needless to say, the devil's busy. And thank you that a woman with Deborah-like qualities got the snake. While all the dudes was like, hey. Hey, I'll pray. I'll be over here praying. Thank you so much, sister. We got some women in this church that ain't playing. I tell people all the time. They are not playing. I got that, Pastor. I got it. So I say all that to say this. I don't have my normal comfort zone. My iPad is almost unreadable. I've got printed pieces of paper. I'm going to be preaching kind of like David. I don't know how he does that with all those pieces of paper. And all of what I'm saying today is I dealt with a lot of discouragement this week, a lot of soul searching, and a lot of questions about what I'm doing in ministry. And God is really, really allowing me to be wide open, so I believe He can restructure me. And set me straight on some things, because we can all learn. We're not above it. And what I'm basically saying is, I don't know whose message this is, but the enemy has really, really tried his best to make sure you don't get it. So I need you all to be praying, because I've not seen an attack like this in 8 years of me preaching. It's been crazy. All right. The next line, 2 Peter, going over into the second chapter. 2 Peter, second chapter. Please get your Bibles, write down every scripture, take your notes. Do not take the word of God for granted. Amen. Oh, God, help me. Holy Spirit, I need your help. When you have it, say amen. 2 Peter, second chapter, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. Underline the word bought. Underline the word denying. Underline the word heresy. And bring upon themselves swift destruction. Verse 2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way, underline the word way, of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Verse 3. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, underline old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample, underline ensample, unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed, underline vexed, with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Disclaimer. Where is that? Okay. First of all, my title for this message is Purchased by Christ. Purchased by Christ. And once again, we sang about that and we read about that this morning. And then Elder Keith got up and shouted about it. Very interesting. Here's a disclaimer, as I see children here today. The topic that we will be discussing today is for a mature audience. Any parents that are nervous as to how I will handle this subject might want to take your children to the nursery now and then get the CD later on. I will say this. They will hear more details, graphic details about the subject for which I'm speaking on the schoolyard tomorrow than they will hear in the church this morning. So make your choice. But I need to say that. Last Sunday, we talked about the importance of getting into the Word of God, wanting to know the meaning of the Word of God, wanting to know God's meaning for Scripture and not reading into Scripture our meaning. Amen? What we would like it to mean. We also learned that there was a very necessary character trait of humility that is needed to put the believer in a place where they can receive what God is saying, because their pride will more than likely get in the way of hearing the truth. And we talked about the importance of trembling at the word of God, remember? Which gives us incentive for taking the word of God seriously.
seriously.
Amen? And I briefly touched, after verses 19, 20, or something like that, of the first chapter, briefly touched on chapter 2. And 2 Peter chapter 2 talks about the one thing that God instructed Peter to tell us about, which is false teachers. Lots of false teachers now. There were several of them then. There are many of them now. Now, God is not saying anything new. God never makes changes to what he said. God does not give out five different contradictory meanings for Scripture. He has never had to correct himself. He has never had to change his mind on any of the member or on any of the Scriptures. Amen? God's meaning of Scripture from the beginning has not changed. It was the same in the beginning. It was the same in the 70s. It's the same now in 2018. God is not saying one thing to you and then something completely and totally different when it comes to Scripture to me. Amen? He is saying the same thing to all of his creation. Amen? In every season and in every generation, God is saying the same thing, what he's always meant to say. He's not changing Scripture. Amen? So, it is forbidden to slap your meaning on top of Scripture and to say what you think God means versus what God really means. It is forbidden. Amen? And we are to be careful not to agree with people who contradict Scripture and say that they have received special revelation from God. Or say that the Bible now needs an update. To the point to where whatever update they come up with changes what we have believed for thousands and thousands of years. To say that the Bible is now incorrect, out of date, insignificant, wrong. Why? Because according to Scripture, there were people who thought that way about the Word of God back then, there are people who are thinking these kinds of thoughts right now. This is nothing new. Now, a little bit of history before I go into this. First Peter was written to believers who were dealing with a ruthless emperor by the name of Nero. And in Nero's situation, they were encouraged in that letter to help them survive an attack from the outside. 2 years later, 2 Peter is written to help the believers to survive a different kind of attack, an attack from the inside. Amen? Namely, an attack from people who lie and get others to believe lies, who will then go forward and teach other people the same lies. Forging God's signature on something and saying that God agrees with something that he has never agreed to is not allowed. You cannot forge God's signature and say that he agrees with something. Amen? Let's level set it for a minute. Acts 2:42. Acts 2:42 says this, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued
steadfastly in the doctrine, in the teaching, knowing and being consistent and unmovable in the apostles' teaching, which came directly from Jesus Christ himself, not only provides protection from false teachers, but also provides detection of false teachers. The church has been given a tool to where I can tell that something's not right with the teacher, and I can tell that that teacher may be false. Something's wrong with the message. Something's wrong with the one who's given the message. Amen? Back to 2 Peter 1. 2nd chapter, verse 1. 2 Peter, 2nd chapter, verse 1. We'll be going back and forth into that. But there were false prophets. That word there, or that phrase there, that means sham. False brothers. False Christ. Also among the people. Even as there shall be false teachers among you. Amen? Who privily shall bring in damnable, destructive heresies. Amen? That word privily means subtle. Revealing little bit at a time. Little lies in stages. Amen? They don't tell you everything that they're thinking all at once. They'll bring in things that are not true. It's a way to lure the mind over time. Amen? Damnable heresies, destructive heresies, false religion, false worship, worship of idols, or false ideas about God, which tends to split churches. We were believing one thing, and here you come with something new, and suddenly we got to split. Amen? Not only that, it's the sense of creating a false sense of comfort where people believe that they are safe when they are presently abiding under the wrath of God. Interesting note here, the verb form of this word heresy means to capture or trap the mind. Wow. When I am speaking heresy in the verb form, what I'm doing is I'm leading you into a trap. I'm capturing your mind by a given idea that does not come from God. Amen? Through their heresies, they may include subjects like this: the denial of the virgin birth, the denial of Jesus' deity, the denial of the bodily resurrection. They may deny the second coming of Christ and say Jesus Christ is not coming back again. Or they may bring in some other kind of things where they say God allows certain things that he should not allow, that he does not allow. But here's the basic thing, the basic error of every false teacher, no matter what heresy they bring in, is simply this. They deny that Jesus Christ owns them. They will not submit their lives to the rule of Christ. That's a telltale sign. Amen? Remember, not just the protection from false teachers, but also the ability to detect false teachers. I see you. Okay? Even, here's the main part of our subject today, even denying the Lord that bought them. Stay there for a minute. Peter here is using sarcasm. Because people that are doing this would usually claim that they are true children of God. But redeemed folks obey the Father. People who have been bought by Christ, have been redeemed by the Father, purchased by the Father. They are mastered by the Father. They obey Jesus Christ. Jesus, with his precious, precious blood, paid for every believer, and they are now, get this in your mind, Jesus' personal, private property. Woo! That brings it to another level for me. Ooh, I'm purchased by God. Do you know what that really means? You are now private property. The private property of Jesus Christ. Woo! Never thought about it that way, huh? And it says, they bring on themselves, these teachers and the folks that follow them, bring on themselves, what? Swift destruction. There shall be teachers among you who privily shall bring on damnable heresies, even denying the lordship that bought them. And they shall bring upon themselves swift destruction. Don't move too fast here. Peter says they may call themselves Christian all they want. But he's saying they are headed straight for hell. Why? Because when the teaching is not right, the living is not right. Now, keep your finger there, and let's go to the twin scripture, the parallel scripture of this, Jude, the first chapter, fourth verse. Jude, back of your Bible. Chapter 1, verse 4. And this kind of gives us a picture of what we're really dealing with here. You ready? This is how we start to notice what the main theme is before we get into the actual examples that God gives in the further part of 2 Peter's second chapter. For certain people, verse 4 says, have crept in unnoticed. Who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Ungodly people who pervert the grace of God into sensuality. Let me back up. They crept in unnoticed. What are you saying, Pastor? The believers that were there in the church that where these false teachers crept in, they weren't sharp enough to recognize. Woo! They weren't sharp enough to recognize, hey, that sheep's got really long teeth. You don't sound like us. But they said they crept in, so they didn't recognize that there's something wrong with this with Minister So-and-so. You seeing it? And what's the MO? Here we go. This is how we know what this chapter is talking about. This is where the disclaimer comes in. Who long ago were designated for this condemnation. They're on their way to eternal punishment, right? Ungodly people, that's who they are. What do? They pervert the grace of our God into sensuality. What is sensuality? Unbridled lust, licentiousness, lasciviousness, shameless, forbidden sexual practices. And they, here we go again, just like it said in 2 Peter, they deny, what? Our only master, Lord. You see it? They don't acknowledge the lordship of Jesus Christ in this area. They deny our only master and Lord Jesus Christ. Really? Are you sure this is what's going on, Pastor? Yep. That's what was going on. Then it's happening now. Need a little more proof, Pastor. 1 Corinthians 6 chapter, verse 20. Let's go back to verse 18, actually. Flee fornication. Every sin that man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body, here we go, is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? What is he saying? Verse 20. For ye are bought. There's that word again. You are private property. Bought with what? A price. What are you talking about? The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, glorify God in your body
and in your spirit, which are God's.
1 Peter 1:18. Just setting up the scene here so we can see what's happening. 1 Peter 1:18-19. Knowing that you were ransomed. There it is again. Bought. Purchased. Purchased away. That's what it means. I bought you away from what you were doing into what I want you to do. Purchased away from what? The futile ways inherited from your forefathers. That base living that you inherited from your forefathers, huh? Not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but what?
But with the precious blood of Christ, like a lamb without blemish or spot.
Are we seeing this? So this is what was happening. Amen? Back to 2 Peter 2:2. And it says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Many shall follow these teachers. They get a following. They get a building. They take all their followers and into the building. And not only are you learning from this teacher, you're following their ways. Okay? What are pernicious ways? Poisonous, dangerous ways. Ways, what? What are the ways? Ways of, as we just learned in Jude 1:4, sensuality. They follow their sensual ways by reason of the way of the way of truth, what? It shall be evil spoken of. The Christians were called followers of the way. Remember that? Those who are in the way, not in the way of Jesus and what he's doing. But they were called, you're the believer, you're part of the way. Right? Christianity was called the way. What is the way of truth? The lifestyle that Jesus told us to live. Modeled by the apostles and passed down to every believer. Amen? Jesus didn't do that. We can't do that. Jesus did that. That's what we ought to do. The apostles did that. I guess that's what we're going to do. This is what the apostles taught. This is what you saw Jesus do. You see him in us doing the same thing? He should be in you doing the same thing too. What are you doing? I'm living the way. But they say these people will follow their what? The false apostles, false Christ, false teachers, false prophets. They will follow their pernicious, poisonous, dangerous ways. I love this. By reason of whom the way of truth, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, shall be even evil spoken of. Now, the world looks at the people who claim to believe to be believers or followers of the way, and they begin to mock the church. Why? Because you're not living the way you claim to be in.
Not living the way that you're supposed to. That's because these followers are following man and not Christ. They are following false teachers and not the way of the teacher, not the way of Christ, not the way that the apostles set forth from Christ himself. Let me say this before we go a little bit further here. Any pastor who decides to preach the book of 2 Peter and decides to skip chapter 2 has a reason why they're skipping it.
Well, expose this thing.
Any preacher that has the guts to teach chapter 2, I'm telling you, I've looked through the scholars, and they all say, watch out for this chapter. This is the one. This is dangerous ground here. Amen? Any pastor or leader or bishop or whatever they want to call themselves decides to skip chapter 2 is probably a preacher with something to hide. Probably a preacher that has not been delivered for some of the basic things that God calls his leaders to surrender to before they lead anybody. And a telltale sign is that they will have many who shall follow their pernicious way. The teacher will teach certain things, his lifestyle will be questionable, and he'll have a flock of people in his church with the same issues. Remember I said to you a while back, the shepherd, the master shepherd of Jesus Christ, the under shepherds, they stand at the gate. And whatever they let in, and whatever they kick out, comes through the headship or the lead pastor's position. He is the one that lets it in. He's the one that kicks it out. If it's in and it's not right, more than likely, something else ain't right with the pastor. Are you understanding me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, the preachers that I studied that are mostly old and more than likely dead. That's not funny. What's wrong with y'all? Who dared to go line by line right on into 2 Peter, the second chapter, brought up things like this. Well, he's talking about folks that are in leadership who also have followers who participate in premarital sex. Or folks that are living together for years and then trying to make what they did wrong right by getting married later. Or, you know, there was a point in time where the swinger movement was just beginning. Where, you know, my wife and my husband don't do it for me anymore. I need to borrow yours. Or let's go and spice up our romance life by getting somebody on the corner to come participate with us. Or let me turn on the computer because we just don't have enough excitement that we can muster up for ourselves. So we got to get these actors on the screen to create whatever excitement that we need. You follow the story. Am I doing okay as far as? Am I like not? I've gotten better since I first started. Used to scare quite a few mothers. But not even they had things like the things that we're dealing with now on our radar. Where you have things like same-sex marriage. Or people who refuse to accept whatever God gave them naturally. We could see, obviously, what you are, but you don't agree. You obviously came here as. I was with so-and-so last night, but I couldn't tell you who they were. Because they don't know who they were. Things have progressed in a direction where some of the, even the great theologians of the past, these things weren't even, they didn't even make mention of them. Some of the things that we're doing now in the area of our bedroom are so far out there that filled Holy Ghost fire, filled Holy Ghost, theologians wouldn't even mention it. If they were here now, y'all doing what? You think what? That's where we are right now. It's getting worse and worse and worse, down to the point to where people, and bless their hearts, this is not funny, but they don't even know what to call themselves. That's some major delusion. Where I can't see the things of the spirit and I can't even see the things of nature. Amen? Now, verse 3. So far we got sex, and now here comes the money. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. You see that? I got a book I need to sell. I got things I want to say that are not right. And I'm going to pretty much make a bunch of money off of you. Because you're either under my leadership or you believe what I said. And then you go tell a friend and they believe what they said. And they just start making money. And you see how it goes? Girl, you read that book by so-and-so? It's controversial. Like, he went to school. She really knows what she's talking about. I never thought about it that way. And that's how it starts. Amen? Huh? They crowd you into a building, make a bunch of money off of you. And God says, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not? My goodness. Lingereth not. That means the judgment will be swift and sudden. And their damnation slumbereth not. That means the judgment that is swift and sudden is not sleeping. It's not idle. Here's the thing. They should not think that because consequences have not come yet, that God is not serious. He says, basically, those who teach this live that way and follow those that live that way. They are currently stirring up more and more of God's anger for themselves. The delay has caused them to spiritually fall asleep, thinking that Jesus will not come back and settle the score later. They are living in a house, one house, and that's giving them a false sense of safety, not realizing that they are putting God's anger in storage. You see what's happening? So when you've got something in storage, you put it away for a while, you're not thinking about it. But they're saying God's anger is being stored up. You're thinking everything's okay because you have not experienced the consequences. And God is saying, no. I'm sitting there writing down things. And you're storing up anger that will more than likely last you through all eternity. You'll have just enough. Wow. Serious subject here. Now, verse 4. Here we go. You ready? Here's the connection. False prophets, false teachers, help me, Lord. Sexual practices that are forbidden. That tends to be their lifestyle. And here's the thing that God wants you to consider. This word for connects verses 1 through 4. Right up to, if you would almost put a comma before the word if. Consider all of that. Now, consider this. If God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, comma. This is one long, long sentence. Okay? One long descriptive sentence that pretty much says, think this through. If God did not spare the angels, we're going to take this piece by piece, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, hold your finger there, go back to Jude. And give me Jude, first chapter, because there's only one, verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. What is he saying? Angels, I told you to stay put. You didn't do what I told you to do, and you went down earth and start messing with things I told you not to mess with. What happened? Well, a picture of this is rather interesting. The Bible always proves itself. Go to Genesis, the sixth chapter. Very interesting how this is all put together. I never saw this. Genesis, the sixth chapter. My goodness. Help me on this here. Genesis 6, starting at the first verse. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. Very key passage, very controversial statement here. Verse 2, that the sons of God, underline that, saw the daughters of men. Oh, I just caught something. Oh, wow. Okay, I see the angle now. Saw the daughters of men that they were fair. They look good. And they took them wives of all which they chose. Woo. Now, some people have a disagreement on what the sons of God really mean. And I'm going to present a couple of arguments to you just so you understand what it is. I like to teach you that. Amen? But I want you to notice, before we get into that, verse 3. Right after that, whoever these sons of God are. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be in 120 years. All right, help me with this one. Some people believe the sons of God are the angels. Some people believe the sons of God are the sons of Seth. Okay? The quote-unquote good guys who still believe and worship God. Some people believe that the sons of God were these super beings, giants. Okay? And we're going to go into that in just a minute so you can see how this all plays out. But what I want you to see here is that the Lord said after they dealt with the women, whoever they were, he said, okay, I've made a decision. My spirit shall not always strive with man. Amen? Yet his days shall be 120. Now, some people believe that is 120 days when Noah started preaching. Most people believe that the reason why you're not 900 years old is because of this right here. That God made a decision, that's it. Are you following me? Do you want to know why people don't live that long anymore? Sexual rebellion. Sexual sin shortens life. Ooh, catch that. It always has, it always will. Some people want to say that after God saw whoever the sons of God were doing what they were doing with the women, that God said, okay, the clock is ticking. Noah, start building the ark. And some people say that's the reason why you can't get past 120. Interesting. Interesting, right? I got everybody's attention today. Ooh, we talk about sex. I'm going to take some notes. All right. Verse 4. Key verse. And there were giants in the earth in those days. And so after that, when the sons of God, again, could be the angels or could be the sons of the giants giving us a certain time stamp of when things happen. All right. When the sons of God, the angels came, or the giants or the Nephilim or whatever they call it, came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which are of old, men of renown. So whatever happened, this breach of sexuality that God did not agree with, they started making super beings. Okay? Folks could really, really play basketball. It's like, this dude's got wings. All right? And God saw, verse 5, that the wickedness of man was greater in the earth And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and he repented of the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Verse 8, key verse. But Noah found grace in the Lord. Now, remember that, because this is where we're going to next. It's amazing how these things connect. Now, after looking at this verse, you got, again, or this kind of portion of scripture, you've got several different options here. Some think that the sons of God were angels. Some think that the sons of God were Seth's family. Amen? All right? Or some people think that the sons of God were giants. Somehow, I don't know how we got the giants, but maybe because of the angels. Okay? All right? Well, how can angels have babies? Well, think about it. When you're talking about Sodom and Gomorrah, when those people wanted to rape those angels, evidently they thought that they had some kind of human abilities. Okay? So there's arguments on each side. And all of them sound pretty interesting. I'm not going to get you into the argument too much, but I want you to think of something real quick. Let's take just, for instance, option two, Seth's family line. Sons of God who were believed to be, you know, men of God, ended up having sex with worldly women who God did not want them to have sex with, and they created mixed belief children. This mixed belief children are now in a home where there's people who worship God and people who don't worship God. And these children are being raised in a family where there's confusion. So they don't honor God anymore, and they have these thoughts that are now not in line with God. And God is saying every imagination they come up with is just evil. Are you catching this now? Are you seeing? So God is not just concerned about who you sleep with. He's concerned about what happens if you sleep with them. The product that comes out of that possibly. Are you catching me? You got that point? All right. So all the arguments make sense, but nobody has been able to overwhelmingly convince either side of who's right. In either case, you have somebody is doing their thing with somebody that God told him not to. That's clear. That part we got. And whatever came from that union eventually was so evil that God decided to flood the whole earth. Are you hearing me, people? He said, you know what? We're starting over. That's it. When you have sex with folks that God says is forbidden, bad things happen. This is what I'm saying, people. Bought people of Christ. Hear me. Sex came from God. If you're going to have sex, you're going to need God's permission. Oh, listen to that. Now, I know that's news to people who were brought up by people from the 1960s, but I'm trying to tell you something. It's true. Whether you like it or not. Well, you know, you just kind of find your way. No! Do what you feel, and if it's not right, then move on. No! You're bought with a price. You are owned. You are private property. If you step onto private property without permission, you're trespassing. Catch that. Hang in there. This is the thing that he's saying. Back to 2 Peter 2, verse 5. No, 4 again. Just to make sure we can connect it. Remember, that's good. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, back to that. Okay. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Okay, I'm being patient. That's not it. Verse 4. There we go. So, if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down into hell, right to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, God punished those angels. Okay? He's saying, consider this. Think that through. And spirit, verse 5, not the old world. Wow. That's an interesting way of saying that. Remember? But Noah found grace with God, right? If God didn't spare the old world, do you realize that the world that we're seeing now is the new version? Have you taken that in? There was an old version we've never seen. Wow. What did God do? He wiped it out. What? But he saved Noah. Catch this. The eighth person. Only a few folks survived. Not 80. Eight. Are you taking this in, people? Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Bringing in the flood upon the world of who? The ungodly. What are the ungodly? We just saw it. Those who, what? Live with sensuality. Are you seeing how this is all tying together now? I was like, well, my God. It's a puzzle, but it fits. Are you catching this, people? This world that we live in right now is a new version. He's saying, I wiped out the angels. I wiped out people. I only left eight and a few animals. Do you think I'm playing? That's the message. But he's not done. Verse 6 says this. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample. That word means an example unto those that after should live ungodly. If you thought that was a good idea, find Sodom and Gomorrah for me and go pick up some souvenirs. Girl, I just got off the plane from Sodom. It was a nice trip, you know. Had brunch with my buddies. No, you didn't. It's gone. Gone. Here's the point. Sodom and Gomorrah, believe it or not, is mentioned several times in the Bible, not just in the account in Genesis where it's first mentioned, where we see the event. But every single time that we mention, or Sodom and Gomorrah is mentioned in the Bible, it's a warning. God is saying over and over again, remember what I did to Sodom. Just in case you think God is playing, he's saying, think about the angels. Think about the flood. Think about Sodom and Gomorrah. This is a tough message. Jude 1 and 7. Jude 1 and 7. I love the Bible. It's not that hard to preach when you just actually preach it. And just let the Bible prove itself. Jude 1, 7. Even Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. There's this new argument that's saying that Sodom and Gomorrah was really not about the homosexual destruction thing. It said, listen, Pastor, it was not about consensual sex. It was about the fact that they wanted to gang rape some angels. Okay, that's still bad sex. You know, no, that's not good. But here's the point. That can't be true because of the very next line, strange flesh. Going after strange flesh. What does that mean? Men going after men. Wrong. God says it's an abomination. I know it's not popular today. I know that President Obama and his daughter figured this out for us. But I'm going to be very honest with you. The Bible doesn't agree.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, I lost some people on that one. All right. Romans 1, 27. And the men. Romans 1, 27. Hang with me. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other, men did shameful things. There's that word, shameful. licentiousness. Huh? Huh? With other men, and as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. Here's the point. Just in case you're thinking that God is too loving to go through with what he said. That's it. That whole paragraph is basically saying that. Think this through. Okay? Lord Jesus, Pastor, is there a good part? Yeah. Just in case you think he's not going to bring eternal judgment on the false teachers and those that follow them, look at the proof. Look at what he's already done. Look at the history. Go pick up some Josephus. Huh? The historians. See how the Bible ties right with history. See what happened. Mm-hmm. God has already told us how he deals with this sin. Amen? But the other certainty is this. Verse 7. God will spare those who live holy. I didn't say live perfectly. I said live holy. Uh-huh. Those who have a made-up mind with great effort, steadfastly, holding to the doctrine. Huh? Steadfastly. Believing and doing what God has said is right. Those who have a desire with great effort, who strive with great effort to please God, God is promising, I'll save you. Verse 7. Second Peter 2, 7. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned with them and with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver, interesting, just Lot. Lot was just? Really? I thought that dude was a little shifty. Thought he was a little, he made some choir rehearsals, but I don't know. Delivered just Lot. Described Lot. Vexed with the filthy conversation. That is a very fancy King James word for vexed by the lifestyle. The filthy lifestyle of the wicked. For that righteous man. Wow, you really poured it on thick here. Dwelling among them in seeing and hearing again. Vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Life for Lot was tough. Why? He struggled with something. Why? Because he was seeing absolute craziness. Day after day. Huh? He struggled to live holy. Uh-huh. In the midst of extreme sexual immorality. Ain't that kind of how you feel? Ed, raise your hand. My goodness, like, what y'all gonna do next? Huh? And yet, here we are, human, not perfect, struggling to live holy. God, keep me. What are you saying, Pastor? Let me give you a not so vivid, but somewhat descriptive graphic understanding of what Lot may have come into or run into. Lot walked outside on his way to work, and it was on and popping. Listen, y'all, can you get off my lawn? Can you get off the hood of my car? Can you get a room? Don't you have an apartment to do that in? I'm trying to go to work. That's the kind of immorality they saw. So much so that when Lot saw the angels, like, come inside, don't stay outside. Notice that? Didn't he say that? No, whatever. No, we're going to sleep outside. No, you don't want to sleep outside. Trust me, don't sleep outside. Come inside with me. I'll give you some meals. Stay inside. If Lot, here's a lesson, could be preserved, spared, how much more can we endure and be preserved who actually have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? There it is. Are you hearing these things? It's certain that God will spare those who are covered by the blood of Jesus. Verse 9 says it like this, and I love it. This is where we're closed. The Lord knows how to deliver the ungodly out of temptations. Woo! The point is, God knows how to save and rescue the godly. But when he says God knows how in verse 9, it doesn't mean that God just has the power or the ability or the wisdom to save the godly. What it says is basically it's saying this. It means God has saved people from his own wrath before. He's got a reputation of delivering his folks. He's got a reputation of sparing his folks. It's not just deliverance from the end times that's going to happen when judgment comes. No, 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 people, hear this. What you need to know is that God can preserve you right now. He can preserve you from the evil that surrounds you right now. God knows how to save those who live for him. He has the power and the ability, but he also has the desire and the track record. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He's done it before. He'll do it again. Now, he's saving the godly, not the perfectly obedient, but those who are determined to live godly. Those who are vexed by the way the ungodly lives. Those who are determined to swim against the culture. Let them talk about you. Let them persecute you. Let them exclude you from everything. You're not perfect, but you desire to keep holy. You desire to live holy. You desire for God to keep you from sin. You strive to live holy. You may fail, but you get up. You may mess up, but you get up. But you refuse to wallow in perversion. You refuse to sit in sin. You refuse to justify what you know is wrong. You refuse to do what everybody else is doing. You live for your King, and you're unapologetic about it. You agree with the Word of God. You agree with what God said, even though it's not popular. Even though your flesh may sometimes want to join in. You say, God said, I can't do that. You say, God said, I live for him. God said, that's off limits. You heard God say in the garden, you may have everything but this. You may touch everything but this. You can eat everything but this. And you say to yourself, God's been too good to me for me to tell him no. God's been too good for me to disobey God. I don't care what I feel like. I have the power of the Holy Spirit. And he lives in me. And he tells me I live for him. He empowers me to live for him. I will live for my King. I'm bought with a price. I am not my own. I live for God. I live for God. I am private property. To be like Christ is to love what he loves. To be like Christ is to hate what he hates. I'll say it again. To be like Christ is to love what he loves. To be like Christ is to hate what he hates. He is the image of the invisible God. What I saw him do is what God wants me to do. How he thinks is how God wants me to think. I don't come up with excuses because everybody else is doing this thing. That's not how I live. That's not what God told me to do. I don't care what false teacher comes with their liberty message that says you can be free. Don't you exchange your freedom for their chains. Don't you exchange your freedom for their chains. God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. And saints, he also knows how to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Here's the lesson. The church is not immune to false teachers. No. So, the church is a pillar in the ground of truth. The church is built on Ephesians 2:20. The church is built on the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, and Christ being the cornerstone. That's what the word of God says. Amen? That's what it says. So, here's the point. False teachers will come. False prophets will come. They will. They will come. That's why you got to know your Bible. That's why you got to know the Word. There's a lot of people making excuses, and they're doing what a lot of folks think. You know? I guess I'm all right. I ain't got hit by a Mack truck yet. Number two, anyone who teaches that it's okay to have sex outside of the context of Scripture, the way that God designed, is teaching heresy. They do not know God. God did not send them. We are taught to ignore them. We are taught. Give me Romans 16:16-17. It's not on there, but give me Romans 16:16-17. We are taught to avoid them. You got it? King James. Romans 16. You got it? Romans 16, I think it's 16:17. You see it? Am I right? I hope I'm right. Can somebody read it? Now I beseech you, brother, mark them. Woo. Which cause divisions and offenses to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. There it is. Holy Spirit just said, there it is. Remind them. That's what I read. That's the Bible. That's what it's saying. Avoid them. Mark them. Mark them. What does that mean? Recognize them. Be able to tell. Be sharp, Christians. Be sharp. Stay sharp. They will bring you to a place where there's a lot of people and they all feel good about it because there's going to be a lot more people who want to do what they want to do versus the folks that want to be lorded by Christ. And this place is on and popping and jumping. This is where I need to be. There's evidence that God is doing something. Look at all these people. That's not evidence. That's not evidence. No, he's saying mark them, know them, watch them. They'll make merchandise of you, and they'll try to get you to go along with their practices. And in that atmosphere, the bad morals will corrupt you. That bad company will corrupt good morals. That's what it says, right? Right, right, right. So anyone that teaches that, God didn't send them. God bought us with his precious blood. Jesus is king, which means we have no right to find pleasure outside of what the king says. Again, anybody that is on private property without permission is trespassing. Uh-huh. And if you belong to Jesus, stop sleeping with the wolves. Sheep. So not only know your Bible, obey your Bible. Okay? Number three, God is going to send the people that disobey him when it comes to living this way, where they will not allow him to lord over their life, straight to hell. Okay? Whether they practice the immorality, whether they're in practice, or whether they're going around teaching other people to practice. Because now it's too old for them to practice. There's no one to practice with. Be careful. Be careful what you teach your children. Okay? But God will deliver the believer from his wrath, number four, that is to come. And he knows how not only to save you by power and ability, but he knows how to keep you in the midst of immense sexual immorality. He will preserve everyone from generation to generation. That's his promise. Jude 24:25. I'm done. Not bad. Piece of paper. All right. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, because he has washed away all of my sins, because he has cleared my record and made me right, I am justified, I am holy, I have the track record of Jesus Christ. He has poured the blood over my stuff to where you can't even read it because of that goodness that I do not deserve. I recognize that he owns me. I don't live holy to impress God. My righteousness is filthy rag. Okay? We're not talking about legalism here. Okay? What we're talking about is this. I love God because he first loved me. Do you get that? I sit there. I had a Holy Ghost fit one night this week just thinking about what I no longer do anymore. And I went into a thing, tears streaming down my face because I can't believe that God rescued me. I'm just overwhelmed by the fact that he took me, purchased me, pulled me away from, and then empowered me to walk with him. And I know that's not me.
No, couldn't be. Thank you,
Jesus. And I want to tell anybody here, I don't know whose message this is. I don't know what you've been doing or what you've been thinking about getting into. I don't know what you told one niece or one nephew a couple of weeks ago. I don't know. Here's the point. If God did not spare the angels, if he did not spare the old world, if he did not spare Sodom and Gomorrah, Ash Central, he will not spare those who will not be lorded by the king in this area. And when we think about our lifespan and what happened, that was because folks were doing what God said to do in their bed. And he started all over. So if you think that God won't come through with what he promised, either side, he will spare those who desire to live holy, that are not perfect but desire, and he will make good on his promise to destroy those that think he's playing.
under.